This morning, God's Word comes to us from the first letter of John, chapter 3. 1 John, chapter 3. We'll begin reading at verse 11 and then read through verse 20 of this chapter. First John chapter 3, beginning at verse 11, what we hear now is God's Word. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life, because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth, and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of your Psalters to page 53 in the back section. This is the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 40. This morning we'll look at question and answers 105 through 107. I will read those questions and you may respond with the answers. From page 53, Lord's Day 40, question 105. What is God's will for us in the sixth commandment? Does this commandment refer only to killing? Is it enough then that we do not kill our neighbor in any such way? This morning we look at the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. When we think about that command and that command in its strictest form, I suppose most of us this morning can say, well, I guess I can relax with regard to this commandment. I don't imagine there are too many of us here who have actually, with our actions, murdered someone else. But as we have seen throughout our study of the law of God, the law is much broader than simply a strict reading of the commands. The Heidelberg Catechism helps flesh that out for us. When it says, does this commandment refer only to killing? And the answer, by forbidding murder, God teaches that he hates the root of murder, envy, hatred, anger, vindictiveness. So the question this morning is not, have you murdered anyone? The question is, have you ever been envious of someone? Have you ever been angry with someone? Perhaps in your heart, hated someone or been vindictive toward them? And then we don't sit quite as easily in our chairs. Because we know that the root of this sin of murder, envy and hatred and anger and vindictiveness, the root of that sin dwells in all of our hearts. None of us can say, I don't have to listen this morning because I've never actually murdered anyone. Well, the commandment is much broader than simply, have you physically killed another person? We are not to belittle or insult someone else. Not even in our thoughts or our words, and certainly not in our actual deeds. John, in chapter 3, says that anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. The Word of God connects hatred and murder. It's not simply a small problem for us that we're angry with someone else. But John says if we have hate towards someone, hate in our heart, even if we never actually physically kill them, we are condemned as a murderer. And you know, he says, that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. The sixth commandment touches all of us, whether or not we have taken up our hand to strike someone else. Because in our hearts lie the roots of murder, envy, hatred, anger, and vindictiveness. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. We have to remember, when talking about hating and talking about murder, that not all hatred is wrong. There are some things that we should hate. We should hate our sin. We should hate the sin that still clings to us, that still dwells in us. Because that hate will give us an aversion to that sin. And we won't want to go back to it again. Our desire when we hate something is to separate ourselves from it. There is a righteous anger, a righteous hatred, a hatred of sin that still clings to us. We should hate that. We should hate anything that goes against God. Any of God's enemies. Psalm 139 speaks about that when he says, "Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? I hate them with a righteous hate." So there is a type of hatred, a type of anger we should have. Anger toward our sin, anger toward anything that rises up against the kingdom of God. Now, to be sure, it is God's enemies that we hate, not simply our own. But there is that proper sense of hatred. And there is also a murderous hatred. A hatred toward others. A hatred that lives in our hearts. A hatred that expresses itself, perhaps not in outward physical actions, but in envy, in anger, in vindictiveness. And make no mistake, this type of hatred does murder. It does kill. Although, the one who is the recipient of that death might surprise us. When we harbor hatred and envy and vindictiveness in our hearts towards someone else, it is not them who are hurt by that. It is us. To harbor this type of hatred in our hearts murders ourselves. They might not even know we're angry toward them. But we know, and it festers inside of us. And that type of hatred and envy and vindictiveness breaks our relationship with that person and breaks our relationship with God. And if that type of murderous attitude in our heart goes unchecked, we are the ones who suffer. We are the ones who are hurt. We are the ones who are killed in our relationship with God and with others. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. The commandment, "You shall not murder," includes what we think about, how we feel inside. It begins internally. That I not belittle or insult or hate or kill with my thoughts. How do we think about those, perhaps, who wrong us? Is our initial response vindictive toward them? With my words, how do we respond to those who perhaps are short with us? Are our words biting and cutting? That's the root of murder. With our looks or our gestures, how do we look and speak and act toward those who are around us? There is a murderous anger, a murderous rage that lives in the hearts, and if it goes unchecked, it destroys us. Rather than this murderous envy, this vindictiveness inside, we are called to love. That's the antidote to anger. That's the antidote to hatred. Rather than hatred to those around us, it is to love those around us. Love our enemies. We've heard that command. Children, you've heard that before. You should love your enemies. Well, let's think about that a little bit. Who are our enemies? You know, there's some people I perhaps disagree with. Maybe some I don't get along with, fantastic. I don't think I would call anyone an enemy. If I asked you, write down on a piece of paper the names of your enemies. Do we have any enemies? Again, we get along differently with different people. And it's easy to somewhat sidestep this command to say, oh, love your enemies. Oh, sure, I can do that because I really don't have any enemies. But the command is not just love our enemies. If we're to love them, we're certainly to love our friends, to love our brothers in the Lord. And that's the picture that John draws for us. This is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. Remember the story, children? Of Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel, who were both going to bring offerings to God. And Abel's offering was accepted by God, and Cain's offering was not accepted by God. And Cain was so angry that he killed his brother. Now, Abel wasn't an enemy to him. Abel was a brother to him. This command not to be envious or angry or vindictive talks about our brothers in the Lord. Not just enemies that maybe we can't name, who would we write down on the list, but our brothers in the Lord, our sisters in the Lord. And this call to love is for them as well. Cain was of the evil one. He murdered his brother. And the text says, why did he murder his brother? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. It wasn't that Abel was an enemy to him. It was that in Abel's righteousness, Cain saw his own evilness, his own vindictiveness. And that anger, that evil, then ate him up. That's why he murdered. Not because Abel was doing anything wrong, but because Abel was accepted and Cain was not. And so John says, do not be surprised, brothers, when the world hates you. When God works in us and by His Spirit we begin to live that life He's called us to, that reminder of godliness is a reminder to the world of their sinfulness. And they don't like that. They don't like to be reminded that there is a holy, righteous standard for living. And the world will hate the people of God. Don't be surprised, John says. Not because we're doing anything wrong, but because it's a reminder to them of their shortcomings. The righteousness of the church exposes the evil in the world. And so we think about our relationships. The relationships with our families, the relationships with our friends. When something good happens to someone else, is our first response joy for them or envy? Children, maybe one of your brothers and sisters gets invited to go to a birthday party, and it sounds like it's going to be a really, really lot of fun. But they were invited and you weren't. Now, what's your first response? Is it joy for them? Happy that they get to go? Or is there a sense of, well, why can't I go? Why don't I get to go have that kind of fun? That type of envy is not only in our children, it finds itself in us as adults as well. When something good happens to someone around us, one of our co-workers gets a promotion, are we joyful for them? Or is our first thought, you know, I work just as hard as he or she does. Why didn't I get that? That envy, that vindictiveness is so close to the surface. We try to hide it. We try to keep it down. But it expresses itself to those around us. And to express that even in our hearts is to follow the way of Cain. Cain, who killed his brother. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. That's John's warning to us. Don't follow after those evil desires. Don't give in to the sin of the sixth commandment. Or perhaps not expressing it all the way like Cain did in murder, but envy, anger, vindictiveness, wanting something that someone else has gotten that we think maybe we deserve. That too is a violation of the sixth commandment. And that too is a following in the way of Cain. No, John says, don't follow after the path that Cain set. He was of the evil one. Rather, follow after the path of Christ. For in Him we see not hatred, not anger, not vindictiveness, not envy. But in Christ we see the way of love and the way of life. He says, verse 16, by this we know love, that He, that is Christ, laid down His life for us. Christ demonstrated this type of love, that He would lay down His life for someone else. Not trying to take their life, but giving up His own life. Christ came and offered Himself as a sin offering for the sins of His people. And think about who those people were. It was for those who were following Him, His disciples, and yet, what did the disciples do? All of them eventually left Jesus. His offering was not simply for His followers, but it was for those even who would walk away from Him. His offering was for those who would be at enmity with God. Paul tells us in Romans that Christ came and died, laid down His life for His enemies. Not just for His brothers, His disciples, but Christ demonstrated love for His enemies that He might reconcile them to God. That's the path laid out for us, the path of love. We know that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. To demonstrate the evidence of life, the evidence of knowing that Christ does live within us, that He has died for us, that He has reconciled us to Himself, we now live in a particular way, not in enmity, in vindictiveness, in hatred toward our brothers, but in love toward them. A love that expresses itself in real and physical ways. Verse 17, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. The commandment calls us not just to avoid this anger, this vindictiveness, this envy. Is it enough that we don't murder our neighbors in any such way? No. By condemning envy and hatred and anger, God tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves, to be patient, peace-loving, gentle, merciful, friendly to him, to protect him from harm as much as we can, and to do good even to our enemies. An active response of love is what's commanded in the sixth commandment. Not just what we don't do, but what God calls us to do. To see the needs of those around us. To be aware of their needs, of their struggles, and then to come alongside them. Not simply with word or with talk, but in deed and in truth. I think sometimes we can become quite adept at not seeing the needs around us. Because if we see a need, we may have to fill that need. And that may cost us something. If we're fortunate, it might only cost us something from our checkbook, but more likely it will cost us our time. It will cost us concern. It will cost us our heart as we seek to minister to those around us. We must not close our eyes to the needs around us, but open them. And then, as God gives us the ability to help to meet those needs, that's the call in the sixth commandment. Not just, you shall not physically murder someone, but you shall actively show love and concern, not with word or with talk, but in deed and in truth. To do that, we need the strength of the Holy Spirit. To do that, we need to be continually strengthened by our God. And so this morning, we come to the table of the Lord. We come to take and to eat, so that we might once again not simply be physically strengthened, but spiritually strengthened. Strengthened for what? Strengthened to serve others. We don't come and be strengthened simply for our own good. But we come so that we might be able to reach out and love others, not only in word and talk, but in deed and in truth. By this, John says, we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and He knows everything. If we are feeling weak, if we are feeling frail, if we are feeling we can't do what God has called us to do, then come to the table. Then come and be strengthened. Come and be reassured of what God through Christ has done for you. That He has died for His enemies to make you His friends in order that you might show love to those around you. Follow in the way of Christ, not the way of Cain. Cain was of the evil one. His heart filled with envy and hatred and anger and vindictiveness, ending itself in murder. And John says, no murderer has eternal life remaining in him. No, don't follow after the way of Cain, but follow after the way of Christ, the one who gave of himself who offered up himself, not only for his friends, but also for his enemies, and reconciled them and then gave them his Spirit, that we might be strengthened, that we might go out, that we might show love and concern in deed and in truth to those around us. May God strengthen us for his service, that we can follow the way of Christ. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank you for the beauty of your word, for a word that so often lays out two paths before us, the path of life and the path of death. We know, O God, left to ourselves, we would continue on that path of death. So we pray that once again today you might work in our hearts, stir up our spirits to lead us in the ways of righteousness. May you use the supper this morning to strengthen us. If we are feeling too weak to help those around us, may we be strengthened today by the power of your Holy Spirit to love one another, not simply with word or talk, but in deed and in truth, and so fulfill the law. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.